Relationship with them and through that process needed to come into relationship with God. So tonight is about church. stay in someone else's hotel or in an Airbnb. I don't love it. I can get room service, someone that, you know, can bring me breakfast in bed for a really ridiculous amount of money. And I can shower and leave my towel on the floor, right? My socks on the floor, and Emma doesn't care as much, you know, Pastor Emma. And I can get my laundry done by somebody else and leave my bed on me, and I'm ready to move on from my little staycay. I just pack my bag, check out of the front counter, leave the room key, and oh my God, right? And so often we see this in the world. We see this in church and world as well. Many come through our doors for a great service to encounter Jesus, and we love it, and maybe even grab a coffee at the coffee bar and sing some great songs alongside us and check into a city group, and come on, those. When it works for them, and when they feel so inclined, right? This is how families and towns or hotels are. And it's great, but I don't mind being a super host as the, you know, church Airbnb, but I want to help people move to be homeowners, to be actually be part of the family of God, and this be your household of faith, right? And so I want you to stay as a church tourist and know where to call home, because that's not God's plan for your life. Like, everybody needs Jesus, and everybody needs a home. Amen? And so like this, important aspects of our spiritual formation, and it's a biblical Orthodox doctrine, by the way, too. You're no longer an orphan spirit, but now filled with the Spirit of Christ. Healed from a past brokenness, and you've been given the spirit of adoption, as I mentioned. And here's what I need to do, and here's what I'm going to invite you to do with me. So we grow up into our faith in Jesus Christ together. It's beautiful. Spiritual babies and infants, Paul calls us, saying we need to grow and mature and to become integrated into a spiritual household of faith. Homeowners who do life and ministry together are different than hotel patrons. Homeowners actually chip in to pay the bills and help to do the chores and take care of one another. We're going to have some great stories about this tonight and provide a safe space to grow and to mature and to build a home together. Right? It takes a family to build a home together, doesn't it? There's something refreshing about being home. See, when I go on a trip, usually it's 4 or 3 to 5 days, but when I come home, I'm so excited to be in my own bed. And I'm showering my own kitchen. I love it, right? And because it's also important, homeowners are contributors. No matter what age you are in the house of God, there's something that you can do to be a contributor in God's household. And it's His great house. And see, Jesus ushered in a new way of living when He came to planet Earth here in a new family that we are adopted. He started this thing. It's His plan, a spiritual family, faithing together, gathering together for worship, preaching of the word, sacraments, ordinances, headship, hierarchy, by the way, is God's idea. Authority is God's idea, right? Can you imagine growing up without parents or moms and dads? Like, it would be chaos. I would have ran rampant, you know, all kinds of crazy stuff. Would have been a mess. Like, but I need a pastor in my life, and I need spiritual moms and dads in my life. I need brothers and sisters in my life who can help me to learn to be part of the family of God. And these are inherent aspects of the local church body, by the way. And they will continue to play a big part in His grand love story, the spiritual family of God. It's true brotherhood and sisterhood, and it's actually a key term of intimacy as defined in Scripture in the body of Christ. We're brothers and sisters in Jesus. That's pretty cool. Like, genuine, authentic church fam, right? Oh, man, I love it. It's so much more important than the typical postmodernism and deconstruction that we see going on in our Christian faith. We've made a vow to you. You've heard this before, and I've probably even said this in my past life as well, my life before. Like, I love God, but I don't really love His church, right? His church is messy sometimes, or I go to church when I feel like it, and I don't really see the value of being part of a local church, being or having it a part of my daily life. But yeah, that's just not a good perspective, my friends, nor is it a biblical one. It's a pagan view and a self-indulgent perspective that we want to push back against as Christians, as Jesus followers, as it's framed the world. Right? We don't want to have a mindset of the world, but we want to have a mind as Christ has within us. So being part of a local church where you can be seen, known, loved, and challenged, held accountable, be part of something bigger than my little world alone, right? Be given a responsibility so that you can fulfill your God-given purpose, because you've been given a purpose beyond what you can even fathom. And God wants to reveal that to you, so we want to help you discover your purpose, your God-given purpose, and because that's what family does, right? We encourage one another in that, and I get to encourage my wife, she gets to encourage me, I get to encourage my kids, they get to encourage me now because they're all more kids, they're young adults, and it's beautiful. I think they're all in kids' church family. Look at that, amazing. So you cannot actually live out your Christian faith well without being part of a local church family. I'm not going to push on some nerves tonight, and that's okay, but being untethered from a local church is actually being untethered from Christ. See, Christ is the head of the church. We are the body of Christ, and we're attached, and we're not just wandering around like a chicken with no head. We've got a head. We've got a hierarchy. personalities, and it's being untethered from the body, it's being untethered from Christ. So you could be a faithful part of the local church, the body of Christ, and or you're simply carrying around the head of Jesus in your backpack, maybe. I mean, along that, that's not what God wants from you. Like, he's not some kind of lucky charm for you, right? He says, Jesus is the head of the church. We are the body. We are, like, this is what how Paul writes, and I'm almost done here before we get to in just a moment. But Paul writes this way in Ephesians 2:18. I think I have this on the screen for you as well. For through him, we both have access by one Spirit to the Father. Now, therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and the members of the household of God. So I'm going to say household of God. Household of God. See, God's spiritual family. God elevates above bloodlines and marital status and last names and lineage and cultural status. And God truly wants us to understand how central we are as a spiritual family to the outworking of his purposes in the earth and the new lived out reality in Christ Jesus through his body, unified by the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, for some of old school on mission with him. Like, we are the family. I think we have that theme song now after church too, so I can't wait. So we are the family of God. Oh, man. So let me talk to you. I'm talking to you now. We're here from our guests, Mew and Isaiah. And what I'm so excited about in this portion of these stories that we're hearing is both of our guests today are going to share about the family of God and being part of the household of God. And they're going to share their testimony of coming to Jesus and some significant parts of being part of the household. And then they're also going to pray for you tonight. And because tonight we don't want you to leave here without having the opportunity to know Jesus. So it's really important to us. So we're going to make sure you have an opportunity to know Jesus. If you don't know Jesus, you're in the right place. You're not here by mistake. And God brought you here tonight. And there's some of you here tonight that maybe don't know what it means to have or to be a part of a household of faith or call a church home, employ you to be a part of it. And I believe when you hear these stories tonight, that's something that's going to stir in your heart. And you can say, God, I want to be part of a family. There's something special about what God does in his household. I've lived a portion of my life outside of a household of faith. And it was the worst part of my life. I was far from God, and I knew Jesus, and I still was far from God, doing all kinds of things that satisfy my flesh instead of satisfying the obedience unto God is what I was looking needing to do. And so we're going to hear more about that tonight. So would you just give me a hand as she gets ready to share with us tonight?
Everybody, my name's Mew. I was born in Japan and came to Canada at a young age. And I have a couple of memories of being in Japan. Some of my core memories, I would have been around 4 and a half. My first memory, I was in a stroller and my mom was pushing me down the street. Really typical, kind of nice little memory. The only difference was she was running full tilt because, as I later learned, she was high on ecstasy. And then one of my other core memories, I would have been around 4 and a half. My mom gave me a joint to smoke for the first time because she was like, once you get to Canada, you're not going to be able to have a chance to try weed again. So you better try it now, which is kind of ironic. Now she didn't have Google. But anyway, so those were some of my early memories. And then I came to Canada with my mom. And she married my stepdad within a few days of coming to Canada because that's how you gain permanent residence at that time. And he turned out to be a really violent person. And within a short period of time, we fled transition home, which is basically a homeless shelter for women and children fleeing violence. So we were there when I was 5 years old, and we were there for some time before moving back in with him. And then by then we were in Vancouver, and there I had this one memory of my parents, my stepdad and mom had gotten into a fight, and he got violent and he locked us outside, and my mom was semi-conscious, there was blood everywhere, I was 5 years old. And I knew I needed to get help. And so I went upstairs. We were in the lower suite. So I went upstairs to connect with sisters who were upstairs who I'd become friends with. And I went upstairs and I said, hey, I need help. We've been locked outside. And then the parents, they answered the door. I asked them for help. And the parents moved on the side. And they said, sorry, we can't help you. And they closed the door right away. And I realized they were just trying to protect their own family. But at the time, I was kind of confused. And then I went next door, and there was another girl there, and she was also friends with us, and, we'd all learn, like, Backstreet Boys dance moves together, so I was like, we're tight, she's going to help me. And so I went next door, and, same thing, I knocked on the door, and I was like, we need help, we've been locked outside, and same thing, her parents came to the door and said, sir, we can't help you, and they closed the door in my face, and I think that was the first time that I realized that my life was chaotic enough that it was joy together with and ask God to. But went across and asked for help, and his mom came out, and she called 911, and that's when my stepdad ended up being arrested, and my mom went to the hospital, and then I was taken care of by a couple of random ladies for a little while, so my mom recovered. And so that was the start of my life. Didn't know about God, had never heard about Jesus, and after that, my mom would eventually meet my stepdad, and my siblings and I went with her away to travel. 2-3 times a year, we were moving around the east, and eventually we landed in Reno when I was 8 years old, and we've been moving frequently enough that by, you know, the last couple of years, I'd stopped unpacking my things. I just left my things in my boxes and in my garbage bags, and you know, my clothes and everything get there because I knew we'd live again. And you know what I think that happened emotionally too? I learned how to make friends really easily, but I knew that people were just temporary, so I didn't really open up as much as I could have. And so at 8 years old, we moved to Nanaimo. By then I'd been to around 10 different schools, and several years go by, so we stay in Nanaimo, and then eventually, due to cocaine use in the home, my mom, she, bless her heart, she had a habit of finding the wrong people. So, there's lots of, you know, she dated homeless people and hitchhikers, and so we had lots of colorful people in the house, and eventually we go to foster care because of cocaine use. And while I was in foster care, I joined a youth group, and as a part of this youth group, I was sponsored to go to History Makers, which was a youth group conference, like a massive conference. I was like a sponsored child, someone like paid my way there, and that was fun. And so I went there, and you know, stayed in full, probably thousands of teens there, and I remember, you know, it was my first time really hearing about Jesus. And I mean, I went to the youth group and they prayed and things, but that was really my first time really hearing the gospel message. And the preacher said something along the lines of, take whatever's at the top of your trophy case down and put Jesus there. And I remember just taking my hatred for my stepfather down and putting Jesus there and finding freedom and forgiveness and healing in a way that I never experienced before. And so that was when I met God for the first time, and he healed my heart in a miraculous way. And at that time, I was still in foster care, so I went back to my foster home, didn't go to church, but that's when I met God for the first time. And so that stayed with me for years, and then a few years later, I started going to this church called Jubilee Christian Center here in Nanaimo. And I became a mom at a young age. I'm super grateful for my daughter's best thing ever, probably saved my life, and to have her, so I'm really grateful. And this church helped to take care of me as I became a single mom, and they housed me for almost no rent. They fed me, they taught me how to parent and cook and all the things, and took care of her for free so I could get a degree in social work, which is what I did. And so this church family really showed me for the first time what it was like to be in a stable, healthy, safe context. And so I really loved being part of that family. I was adopted in and into this one family particularly, and they really took us in. But there's other people there who I'm still friends with today. And so that was a really healing experience. And so I part of this church. We were there for a few years. And then a Wednesday prayer meeting one night, the pastor comes to the front and he says, I'm not going to leave the church anymore. This is my last night here. You're going to have a new pastor on Sunday. And I didn't think you could do that. I didn't know that churches could just change like that. And I was like, I thought we were family. And so anyways, Sunday comes, there's a new pastor, and one by one all the leaders leave. Some leave the faith. The pastor's wife is no longer Christian. Like, it was a devastating experience after having opened up my heart to this family. And so years go by, and, you know, I think kind of back to that time where I'd been moving a lot and I'd stopped unpacking the boxes. I feel like emotionally I started doing that again as we went to a couple of really good churches. And I think I kind of had kept the boxes packed up. I didn't fully move in, you know, like I served on teams and I was part of small groups and things, but I think I didn't really commit to really being part of family because I was like, this is a sort of a family, but this family can end. People can leave, people can change. And so I didn't really open myself up to trusting again. And then we found Beloved a little over 2 years ago. And I And you know, right away when we joined the club, we felt at home. My family and I immediately we knew that they wanted the club to be home for us. And when the club started the Here to Stay campaign, which is still going on, and it's a campaign to raise $100,000 to buy our own building so we can be here for generations to come. Because renting is great, but owning a place so that we can be here forever is as long as until Jesus returns, I guess, is better. And that really spoke to me, and I think in that moment I just, you know, I was like, okay, I can unpack my boxes, I can move in, I can settle in, and it's been an amazing experience. Pastor Chris and Angela have been amazing. They're, the more you know them, the more you love them. They're trustworthy, they're kind, they're humble, they're self-aware, they're funny and hardworking, and they care about everybody that comes through these doors, and it's been such a delight to serve alongside these pastors. And so anyways, that was the beginning, was the Here to Stay campaign, really, and just realizing, like, okay, yes, this is where I want to plant my feet and for my family to call home. And so my encouragement with that is, you know, if Beloved is home for you, or if you're considering making Beloved home, what does it look like to unpack your boxes? Right? Like, what does it look like to move in and to really make Beloved home and to commit to having Beloved be home for you? And maybe, you know, this is kind of the next steps thing to say, but, you know, maybe it's joining a small group, or maybe it's lingering after service and saying hi to a few people, or going to the next steps booth and saying hi to somebody, or maybe it's, you know, if you're offended by something, or you have a question about something, or you wonder why the music's so loud, or whatever it is, maybe it's bringing that up to leadership, or asking Pastor Chris and Angela. And, you know, like, if you've been here more than a few months, and you've never asked the leadership questions about church, it's maybe time. Like, try it, you know? And, you know, it's okay to feel offended, but it's not okay to hold on to that offense, you know? So, I mean, it's a small thing, but we're all going to feel offended. We're all different. You know, we're going to bump up against each other at some point. But it's super important if you really want to call a place home, if we really want that family experience and all the blessings that come with having a family experience, it requires working through conflict, addressing those things, bringing up offense, and the pastor just naturally can handle it. They can handle it. They welcome questions. And you're going to have a line of people with offenses now. You're welcome. But you can handle it. You can totally handle it. And it's better than not saying anything. Like, I think in Canada, culturally, we don't bring up offense very often. But it seems like the polite thing to do to not say anything. And, you know, we're the peacekeepers. We just keep the peace. We don't say anything. But really, our job is to make peace. And that is through working through conflict and bringing those things to the people who are welcome. Thank you. So that would be my encouragement. Unpack those boxes. What does it look like to do that? And call this place home and take the next steps to committing. Yeah.
That's really good. Can we just give you a hand again? Like, so great to meet you. Thank you. Thank you for sharing. It just took a couple of years that my Pastor Angela and I have gotten a chance to know you, and it's always a joy to be around. You always bring a smile, you bring laughter, and you're a hard worker, and it's just such a joy to do life and ministry alongside of you, and to see you growing. He was also part of the Beloved Jew School of Ministry and Leadership Internship as well, and serves in every aspect of the church, including on the business directors, etc., and that's new in this last season, and we're so proud of you and your family and your kids and watching what God's doing in your household, let alone in this household of faith, which is, I believe that honestly what happens out in the home is what comes out of that is the overflow to your ministry, the overflow to the connections that you're with, the influences you're with. So what's going on in your household, there's a reflection of that in God's house as well, too. And so it's just such a beautiful thing to witness people coming together in unity in their homes and working through things together. And there's an overflow like that, and we get to experience that together. And what we've learned, and I know most of you in this place know, probably not really super clean, right? It's kind of messy. But what we've got to do sometimes is just be okay with the mess. And do what we can to be a part of it. Like, I love that, unpack the boxes. Man, there's nothing worse than having a whole room full of boxes. You're like, oh man, I know I'm gonna be moving on here. Like, the relationships, I'm not sure if they're also gonna stay. So unpacking the boxes is really great. I love that illustration. So that's a great encouragement for us tonight. Unpack. There's somebody in this room here that needs to unpack some boxes and call a place home, right? And so if you're looking for a church home, we got seats, right? Besides, you just probably a seat. And so, not only say yourself, come on and plug in and make this your home, but bring someone with you who also needs a home. teach Jesus and everybody in his home. Thanks, Neil. Appreciate it. Thank you so much. All right, buddy. See ya. Yeah. I'm good. Here. Here's a mute there, yeah. There you go. Beautiful. Hello, Mike Jack. Hello, my name's Isaiah. I'll give you a little bit of my testimony. I was born and raised in a Christian family with a single mom. And growing up, one of the greatest things that my mom has done for me was life. You gave me my brother involvement. I started my childhood living in a small town called Alberta. Well, you're Alberta. Alberta, down there. Just that. Finally, there were no hills other than a couple houses. Three Hills is more of a Christian town where most people were already believers. The elementary school in Three Hills was a Christian school, and for a small town of 3,000 people, quite a few churches. Our first day of our life to Christ, we got that water baptized when I was 3. Earlier in the year 2005, one day my mom asked if I wanted to be water baptized. I was a toddler. Because it reminds me of who my real family is. The church. The church has always been there for me. My toughest battles and my greatest celebrations. And as the church grows, my heart for my family grows even bigger. I'm always excited to share with people the great things God has blessed with me with the church. As I continue to serve and stay connected with the church, God recognizes my faithfulness. And I have noticed God has continued to open doors for me, strong, healthy relationships. I have a family in Duncan at Oasis City Church, and now I have a family here in at Beloved City Church. The great thing about being a part of the body of Christ is the relationships God has in store. I never have to worry about really anything in life, because I know God has placed people in my life who will always be there for me. And I consider Pastor Chris and Angela spiritual parents who I love so much. they have being more of a family than my brothers did at that. Well, they got it. And I know they would have even been a part of my life, but it wasn't yet. I would say my biggest takeaway would probably be reconnected. My husband has big plans for you. He also has a big plan or a big family waiting for you. Loves you so much. He wants the absolute best for you and his life. And he also wants you to succeed. And for me, I definitely wouldn't have gone anywhere in life if I stayed out. Amen. Yeah. That was the same answer. Thank you, man. I love you too, bro. It's been such a pleasure and an honor to have known Isaiah, and now I just saw his brother, was here somewhere as well, up in Ontario, I think, and about 6 years ago, I think, when we moved here to Vancouver Island, we first landed in Oasis City Church in Duncan, where our pastors, our family pastor, Pastor Brandon, Pastor Lindsay Wall, are their pastors as well, and we landed there for about 4 years. We're on staff there, and Isaiah and I are still in high school, and just watching you grow in your spiritual formation, growing into your manhood, and getting jobs and careers, and making those big decisions, man, it's been such a beautiful thing to see God doing great things. And I know a lot of it has been because you've surrounded yourself with some real men of God who have encouraged you, who have rebuked you sometimes, you know, like, bro, what are you doing? You gotta get out of bed, so stop staying so late and playing video games, that's a work of somebody. And get a job, and you know, and you want a wife, I know, and you're excited, and not for future, and but you've been investing in your spiritual formation, in your character formation, and I want to be like more like Jesus. And so watching you grow and having a burger once a week, going to the gym once a week with you, and just seeing how God's doing that, and it's been such an encouragement to me and to others that are in this room as well. And so what an opportunity to build your life and ministry together, get to know. Here's the thing, guys and girls, you gotta go deep. I know you're afraid to go deep and get to know the person beside you, and some of you don't even know the person beside you. And I know it's awkward because this is Canada, and we're really passive, and sometimes passive-aggressive, and we don't know if we're supposed to do elbow bumps anymore, or knuckle bumps, or whatever, because of COVID, which just messed us all up. And I just encourage you, like, there is something beautiful that's right here in this room that God's assembling and growing for a purpose. I was talking to a gentleman, I won't call names because I'm looking at him, but I'm just kidding. Anyways, but he's talking about, you know, school's ending pretty soon and there's a decision to make. And he's like, you know what, this place has been more home to me than I've experienced for a long, long time. And so I'm going to just see what God wants to do. I'm going to stick around a little bit longer and see what God wants to do through that relationship. And I think that's really important. Go deep, be real, be honest, be, you know, genuine, be congruent, even like don't pretend to be something you're not, right? Like, there's just some things that, because here's the thing, whether no matter what your title is, your role is, how much money you make, how much money you don't make, what education you have, where you live, where you're from, all that stuff that we usually compare so many times in our lives, really, at the end of the day, none of that matters, right? We're all brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ. Because of his blood, we have been purchased together as one body and fitted together. God has fit us together as lively stones. That's why we worship God, right? Because we believe we're still living and lively stones. And God worships. If these lively stones stop worshiping, Jesus said the rocks themselves will have to cry out in order to worship me. And so, I don't know if it's for free for somebody, but we want to worship God. We want to be worshipers, but see, God's put us together as a body of Christ. And so don't avoid it. Get messy with each other in some sense. Ask each other. We just learned on Wednesday, a teammate, we're talking about evangelism. And we talked about the three things that we want to ask, admire, and admit. I think we can all use this. I guess we're reaching lost people. Sometimes we're lost ourselves when it comes to knowing how to make friends. Maybe because we've got our phones in front of us half the time. I'm not sure. But ask some questions. Be curious. Admire them. Like, I will rub your shoes. Alice is your name. I know you're Alice. I'll let you scarf, Alice, or whatever it is. Yes, you get to know them. You ask them a couple questions to get to them a little bit. You admire something about them. And then admit, especially when it comes to your faith, admit that how you needed Jesus and how Jesus is making a difference in your life, or whatever that you need to admit. Maybe it's admitting that, hey, like, I'm a human being and I wrestle with some things as well. I'm not perfect. I bet this is actually what I'm working through right now. Have you ever been through something like this? No, do you know somebody who's ever been? Because I want to have mentorship in my life, right? I want to have someone who is here to for us as well as families. As a family of God, is if you're struggling with something in this house tonight, and man, you shouldn't be struggling with that alone. It doesn't matter how private you think it should be, your confession is going to heal you, right? So get in a small group and begin to confess your faults to one another, because that's where you find your healing. And so whatever is just bothering you, that you're hurt by, that you're offended by, that you're struggling with, maybe you've got to get into a group and do some life ministry with other people. Start sharing those things. Maybe it's anxiety, maybe it's pornography, maybe it's just your bad at math, and maybe someone can help you with some life skills, like whatever it might be. Like, seriously, right? Like, there's a spectrum of things that we all need help with. And God's put us into a family to help us with these things. But we've got to be honest with each other, right? So I encourage you, as we're here tonight, just some honesty of like, hey, I needed a family to belong to because it's helping me, and I realize that it's helping me. Not only am I making connections, I'm growing into the image of Christ more and more as iron sharpens iron. The scripture talks about where you're able to help each other, help each other feel seen, loved, known, and challenged. And that's what we want to avoid, but I want to encourage you in that, okay? So, I don't know if anybody have any questions for you guys, but let's go this way. Maybe just quickly, you know, maybe I know you have some encouragement to unpack the boxes, but it's just something that I want to highlight, because I believe sometimes you talk about a portion of your life where, you know, you're alone, you're raising children on your own for a short while there, and I feel like that's kind of, that's sometimes the work. There's people who sometimes think that they're, I have people in this room tonight, that think they're alone in their parenting, and I'm just wondering how God's family has helped you, and you shared a little bit about that, but just encourage for me, for the single mom, or a single parent, that feels like they're very mad, that, like, how God's family could be a part of that with them. Do you have any advice or any counsel, any encouragement in that for the single mom or the single parent?
Well, I think one encouragement, especially because I was a young mom, was that it was no, Jesus' mom was young, you know, and I found that really encouraging. She was able to raise Jesus, although, I mean, in a different context, but you're raising Jesus. But, you know, not a pretty easy child, but, yeah, I think leaning into trusting the Lord, as with everything, I think is step number one. And I think in terms of in community, I know there's so many people here willing to help with babysitting, and I think, you know, being open to advice, right? Like asking someone else, like, hey, I'm struggling with bedtime routines or this or that. Like, do you have any advice? And that's sort of what community is here for, right? Like, none of us have all the answers with anything, and we all need help in some ways. So I think being open to asking, you know, our sister or our brother or leadership if we're struggling, just being open, because we all need help. Like, you know, if we don't think we need help, we're just pretending, right? Like, and it's part of being family. Like, you wouldn't be family if we didn't need each other. So it's part of the beauty of it, is those moments where we need help. It kind of reminds me of that time where I was, like, knocking on the door and the door was closed. Like, we all need help, and there's a blessing in receiving that help and being able to give that help, right? And so I think that's, yeah, that's an important part of that.
That's good. I love it. Yeah, just ask. Because there's a wealth of knowledge and experience in this room that can help you. So then if that's you, or you're struggling through anything, kind of out of it as a parent or, you know, husband or wife situation, ask someone, come alongside you. And if you're the one being asked, would you please help them reach for them with this confidence? You know, that when you share something that's vulnerable with them, that, like, hey, I want to keep that confident for you, and I want to bring that before God. Can I pray? And maybe you just pray in that moment together. And then I want to be a tangible help. How can I help? Can I help? Also, maybe, like, something, I love the fact that we can help each other with the day-to-day stuff as well, right? There's counselors in this room. There's all kinds of things going on in this room that there's lots of professional help in as well. As well as just people who've been through the mill, right? So ask away. I really appreciate that. Thanks, Mia. I want to ask the question. There's a few single men in this room, including yourself. Shout out to the single men. Anyone single in this room? I'm not. Anyway, I'm married. Single men. Isaiah, just talk to me for a moment or to the room tonight, because there's some single guys in this room who are, you know, and like yourself, that you're wanting to move forward and find a spouse, find a significant other, and to do life and ministry with, and I think that's God's will. You know, in a lot of ways, that's the desire of your heart, single men and women to be married. That's a good thing to desire, by the way, right? And so, but in that case, how has church family helped you through realizing that singleness is not actually brokenness, and that even in your singleness, you can still live out your design as a man of God? Like, how have other men been speaking into your life, and how can you encourage someone in the room tonight that maybe is going through wondering, like, am I ever going to get a spouse? Am I broken? Am I something wrong with me? Like, talk to us just briefly, just encourage someone into some courage, encourage someone in the room who might be thinking like that actually you need to surround yourself as a man of God, and how that has helped you, maybe in some sense, if that makes sense. say this. You attract what you become. And you know what? Growing by being leader is what I. That's all the point. Qualities you want. You have to get in that situation, that area, yourself. And while it's preparing area as well, it's trying to prepare yourself. Try to prepare. I'm trying to do it on your own. Yes. Yeah, keep on flipping, keep on working, and God sees your heart, and you will provide the right person at the right time. Yeah. Like, that's good. I appreciate that. Yeah. So, in some sense, then, if you're praying for an only purpose, you're praying and asking God, work on me, transform me, shape me into the character that you want me to have, and the man that you want me to be, God. Because at the same time, God's doing that for the girl that he has in mind, or whoever it might be. He's shaping their lives as well. And if you allow him to be shaping your life and trust God to put the pieces together, God's going to take care of it for you. So pursuing him with all your heart. And I know how to get first, you don't know yet. You have to seek God, seek first the kingdom of heaven. All these other things will be added to you. I love it. Well, thank you so much, both Isaiah. Can we just give him God for sharing tonight? So it's important about this series of telling stories or stories of lives being eternally changed or impacted by God. The steps that we were learning about, the first stage of my healing, or as the church, just a hospital place of hope and healing. And that's an important place to be as a Christian or as a new believer or even an unbeliever, and you're looking to find freedom from anxiety, depression, sin, shame, broken habits, whatever it might be. And as you begin to heal and you begin to move to the next stage of developing your life, becoming part of a family of God and realizing, hey, there's a whole household around me, because you can't stay in the hospital, right? Hospitals are like, it's not even clean as much as it's cleaned up all the time. Like, there's more disease in the hospital than there ever is at home, right? So you got to get out of the hospital at some point in that stage and into a home planted. Where you're planted is where you flourish. And so I encourage you to get planted into a home where you can find, again, the continued hope and healing, but also become a homeowner and do life and ministry with other people. There's a togetherness in that. And it's built on the next stage that as we grow, as we begin to realize that there's actually a purpose that's beyond even just a family where we get to go home to hot dogs and pumpkin pie on Sunday, but we get to actually join God's mission, which is bigger than any one of our visions, but it's God's mission, and that's reaching more people who need to go through that same stage of growth and development, the hospital, healing, being part of our family, and then joining God's mission is a purpose that God has given us to seek lost people and help encourage them and help them go through that same process in some ways. Early stages of development. So that's where we're next week is Kevin and Ariana are going to share their stories of being moving from Boy Scout to Marine. God, I love it. Can't wait for that one. And I know it's going to be an encouragement to you. And I hope this has encouraged someone today that if you're looking for a home to belong to, or maybe you're in the thought of church as a home, the church is some religious place to do some great religious things. Hey, it's bigger than that. It's deeper than that. It's a lot more than that. So I encourage you, if you're looking, or maybe you didn't know you're looking, but now you're looking, hey, we want to be that home for you. And I want to just encourage you to see someone with a lanyard after church and say, like, hey, how can I plug in? Because I need some good people around me. There's some great people in this room that God's assembling. And so I love that. Oh, we want to pray for you. So here's what we want to do. If we can move to just a little background music, Wiley.